me just bring a brief devotional thought. You know, I started this night by asking the question, what has God been doing in your life? I got there because God is, you know, I was just kind of just processing life. And, you know, I already told you one of them, it kind of took me, you know, to have the phone call that my vehicle, it was my vehicle, not Sarah's, that got totaled up in Chisholm. And I'm sitting there saying, oh, how's this going to work? But I was thrilled that no one was hurt. And I said, you know what, Sarah, we'll get the vehicle back here somehow or another. But God arranged, their unit is a maintenance and a transport unit, and they got it to the 6 miles over to the base, and they ripped the front bumper off and got so nothing was interfering with the wheels, and they were able to drive it back on Sunday during the day. And, you know, praise God for that. But it was, and then with Sarah's problems, that was discouraging. Myron Hawkins was very sad to me. Myron and I have been friends for 20 years. It's been a, and let me say, I'm going to ask Myron the permission to share more of his testimony, because I am certain that Pam and I are probably the only ones to really know his testimony now. But he really transformed when he came to know Christ. And he made the changes that we see often within our ministry, people at the start of the journey. Well, Myron is at the end of that journey. He got his act together, and he became a bold witness for Jesus Christ and lived consistently for the Lord. And I just celebrate his life. Celebrate that. I think of the impact of Tyann with all of her challenges. She really touched a lot of people's lives. Some aspects of her walk were not exactly what I would have hoped for, but I'll tell you what, she talked to people about Jesus. She talked about how you needed to trust the Lord and how you can make it through. I can do all things by Christ who strengtheneth me. You know, a lot of times God works in people's lives differently than we expect. It doesn't necessarily go the path that we expect, but God's still glorified in it. What a blessing. I came across this verse. Very simple verse. Psalms 122:1. I was glad when, this is David in the ascent psalm. It says, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Why do you think David was glad to go to the house of the Lord? What are some of the reasons? We don't have a lot of time, so I'm just going to cut to the chase here. Why are some people glad to go to church today? Why is that? What do you think? What comes to mind? Sandy? To be with other believers. That's what drew you in here, right? You said you felt warm and appreciated and noticed and the likes. How about others? Ruth? It's a refuge from the world. Praise God for that. Diane? Encouragement. Boy, that, you know, a refuge, encouragement, warmth. These are important truths. Learn and be energized to go equipped. I couldn't hear you, Herman. Fellowship. Absolutely. Why are some people not glad to go to church? Yeah, I'm thinking of, I'll call on you. Why does your grandson say to you the other, why doesn't he want to come to church?
Boring,
yes. They can't connect with it. Some do not want to be challenged. Guilt, that's a biggie. Gloria? Okay, somebody's got to help me. Gloria, I know that was a powerful truth. I just didn't hear it. I'm unable to be blessed by that truth, and I don't know what to do about it other than someone else repeating it. Oh, yes, absolutely. Some do feel that they're not glad because they don't have the clothes, the right clothes to wear.
Some think they're too busy to do
that. Yeah, that's true, too. Yep. Feel tired, need some rest. Literally, that, by the way, was Tyann's comment. She was working all these hours and taking care of the kids the rest of the time, and it was hard. And then there's in some way to read. Herman, and then I'll come back to Jerry. Well, Herman, just don't get ahead of me here. Jerry? You might take away my thunder here. We don't want to do that. I don't want to have a lot of thunder, so you got to be careful on that one. But Jerry? They don't want to be confronted. Yeah. Okay. I'm not asking for anybody to answer this one. I want you to think about your answer for yourself. What makes you glad or unglad to go to church? And what's the difference between you and David? Now, here's the truth that we know. The truth is that psalm doesn't give us a whole lot of insight into exactly why he was glad, but it does very clearly state that he was. But we know this about David. He was a man after God's own heart. He obviously had a relationship with God, a tender, heart-filled relationship with God. Another question for you to think about for yourself. Would you say that you are a person after God's own heart? And if not, what needs to change in your life? I'm telling you, that may have been that question right there may be the reason why you're here tonight. I'm going to read or share a passage here. It's from 1 Kings chapter 12. 1 Kings chapter 12, if you want to turn there in your Bibles, you might want to. It's a fairly, I guess what I will probably do is just, I'm going to pick just a portion of it. What we have here is King Solomon has died. King Solomon has expanded the kingdom of David's beyond what, and it's really what the Jewish people today are looking for, the return of the Messiah so that they can restate this type of prominence in the world. Okay, the experience of the kingdom of Solomon, that type of thing. Well, Solomon dies, and his son is to take on the throne. And his son gets some challenges at the start of this. And I'm going to pick it up in verse 6 at this point. Then King Rehoboam, which is Solomon's son, consulted the elders who stood before his father Solomon while he still lived and said, "How do you advise me to answer these people?" The people had come to him and said, your father Solomon had been really heavy on us, and we will serve you if you'll just lighten up a little. That's basically the message. Just, you know, don't be so overbearing. You know, your dad accomplished a ton of things, but lighten up a little. The load's a little too heavy here, and we'll be faithful to you. And so the king goes to the elders that had served Solomon so well and said, "Tell me, how should I answer these people?" And he spoke to him and saying, "If you will be a servant of these people," verse 7, "today, and serve them and answer them and speak good words to them, then they will be your servants forever." So the elders said, "You know, listen, this is not a bad program. Go with it." But he, being Rehoboam, rejected the advice which the elders had given him and consulted the young men who had grown up with him, who stood before him, and he said to them, "What advice do you give? How should we answer this people who have spoken to me, saying, 'Lighten the yoke which your father put on us'?" And then the young men who had grown up with him spoke to him, saying, "Thus you should speak to this people who has spoken to you, saying, 'Your father made our yoke heavy, but you make it lighter on us.' Thus you shall say to them, 'My little finger shall be thicker than my father's waist. And now, whereas my father put a heavy yoke on you, I will add to your yoke. My father chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scourges.'" You know, do you think Rehoboam was wise in listening to the young men? I think it's self-evident he wasn't. The kingdom split. It really is a sad, sad, sad tale. It splits with Jeroboam, who was someone who Solomon tried to run out of the kingdom, returning from Egypt, and they're part of this group that make this appeal. And he takes the northern 10 tribes, and they go off, and they build another religion. Verse 25 through 30 says this, "And Jeroboam built Shechem in the mountains of Ephraim and dwelt there. Also he went out from there and built Peniel. And Jeroboam said in his heart, 'Now the kingdom may return to the house of David, and these people go up to offer sacrifices in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem. Then the heart of this people will turn back to their Lord, Rehoboam, king of Judah, and will kill me and go back to Rehoboam, king of Judah.'" So he was saying, we got a problem. The only place to worship is in Jerusalem, and when they go back there, they're going to ultimately turn their heart back and reunited. This is not good. So in verse 28 through 30, it says, "Therefore the king asked advice, made two calves of gold, and said to the people, 'It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Here are your gods, O Israel, which brought you up from the land of Egypt.' And he set up one in Bethel, and the other he put in Dan. Now this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one as far as Dan." He not only changed, you know, you understand what he did? He was trying to keep the people loyal to himself, and he messed with their religion. He changed where they worshiped, he changed what they worshiped, and he literally put together counterfeit festivals so that they could feel at peace. And the end result was horrible. Now here's the application. Why do some people don't end up, you know, some people that have professed to be born again Christians and are showing no faithfulness in attending church. None. They rarely show up. They sense no camaraderie in the body of Christ, the local church. What's going on? Well, one observation might be that they have been distracted by the world. And church is now just one of the things they do. It is not their place to come and worship God. And the cause of Christ is no longer preeminent. And if it is preeminent in them as individuals, and they say it is, they are choosing to further the program in a way outside of what God has directed. You cannot read the New Testament without seeing the preeminence of the church as the instrument that God uses. The local body of believers. Exodus chapter 20, verse 3, points to the problem they had. "You shall have no other gods before me." The northern kingdom set up other gods. The book of Ecclesiastes speaks to the problem of false worship and speaks to the emptiness and meaninglessness of pursuing the things of the world. The book of Judges speaks to how God's judgment is upon a group of people that choose that path. It is clear also to me, as I thought about this, why should we be surprised when life gets tough in these situations? Especially for believers now that have allowed themselves to get distracted and go another direction. I think of what it says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 7 and 8. It says, "If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons." In other words, if you are a believer and you're not worshiping him with your whole heart, with your whole life, you should anticipate chastening from him. It should not be a smooth life. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as some, as the manner of some, but exhorting one another so much more as we see the day approaching. What can you do to help people want to come to church? I'll tell you what, this is really something that you and I, as a group of believers that are here at a local church, really need to be asking ourselves. Because the number of people, who even the number of professing Christians that attend regularly and faithfully, is substantially down from just a couple decades ago. And all we have to do is look around in our nation and see that it does have an impact. All right, what's the answer? What do God's people have to do so that others would be excited about coming to church? I'll tell you what I listed. One, you and I need to make sure we're living for Christ. That we are going about the day saying, Lord, what would you have me to do today, and how can I give you the glory? You and I need to truly purpose to talk about Christ. We need to live for Christ. We need to talk about Christ. And we need to talk about the local church and the role that it is playing in your life. And so you need to ask yourself, what role does the local church play in your life? It is God's instrument. We are a group of believers that are gathered together. We have lots of flaws. But I'll tell you what, it is God's way to work through God's people to make this body the very best body we can be together. And the way we do that is each one of us has to give it our heart, our all, our efforts, our prayers, our commitment. And very, very importantly, we need to live for Christ. We need to talk about Christ. We need to talk about how the church makes a difference in our own lives. And we need to be excited about what God is doing in and through our local work. And if we're not doing enough, then you need to plug in and help us accomplish more so that you can rejoice in what he's doing. How did I see God work in my life? The truth is, I was a little bit discouraged over the last couple days, for I already shared with you some of the situations. But I received an email from Dave Martinson, reminded me that it would be like his step-grandfather, Cyril, is coming home today, literally, for his last trip home. They're sending him home from the hospital. He's bleeding internally. They don't know if he has a month or two or a few hours. They really don't know, but he wants to go home, and they're taking him home tonight or today. And Dave sent me a message, an email, and he said, you know, it was 21 years ago that you and Pam went to the farmhouse and had an opportunity to share Christ with both of them. And they have been different since. I'll tell you what, that lifted my spirit. And it wasn't about 3 hours later, after I had been up to the hospital and spent time with Diana and Myron, that Diana sent me a little update and said, and by the way, this is the 20th anniversary since you married us. Why do I say that? Both of those are activities of the local church. By the way, they both stem back to your ministry, Dr. McLaughlin. You know, it was out of Fourth Baptist Church. Both of those were contacts that were made when I was serving as an assistant in that capacity. God uses the local church. I would have never connected with either of those if it wasn't for ministering in a local church. And I'm telling you, this church is still about reaching people. People are, their lives are being changed. We're getting a few hits here and there. But I'll tell you what, the work of God is going forward, and we need to rejoice in it. I think of the baptisms we had just last Sunday. We got another one coming up in the first of the month, another adult that's going to be baptized. Praise God. We have others that are growing in the Lord and have such a transformed life that others in their family find it hard to believe. That's the work of the Lord in the local church.